The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse.
The beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan! Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From a snow-covered bunker in the heartland, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and honey, I gotta thank you. Thank you for digging us out.
Well, we had a good start with one of the neighbor boys who came over and did the walkway.
I know. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I got to tell you, he does that without any expectations. And, of course, we, you know, give him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But he really doesn't care if we give him anything or not. Those kids next door, they're homeschooled kids.
Yes, they are.
They're preacher's kids, PKs. Mm-hmm. And they are wonderful.
Yep. If you want to look up the kind of influence they've got, check out the archive show in the View from the Bunker archives with Pastor Ian Farnsley on politics and religion. And that's their dad.
So that's right.
They're doing fine. Ian and Amy, good couple. So,
well, another Amy, of course. You know, our pastor's wife is Amy, and they're going to be going on the 28th. So as of the 28th, our bunker will be full.
Yeah, it's
good. Sounds of children laughing.
Playing. Building things.
Cleaning things.
Oh, your prayers.
I know. I've been lifting them up to the Lord.
Yep. So, yes, you've heard us talk about Bob and Amy Land and their desire to bring three special needs.
Their mission.
Yeah, their mission, really. And this has been ongoing for almost 2 years and probably longer than that, because we know that Amy really has a heart
from
for
a very,
children.
Very young age. She's had a heart for children. And as she got to dating age, she told Bob when they started dating, I have a heart for missions. I have a heart for adopting children, particularly children from
Eastern Europe.
Yes.
Yeah. And Bob was like, yeah, okay, whatever. And just kind of went on. And now he's learning.
And it's all happening. And we're just so grateful to everybody who helped him out. So
yes,
there you go.
Amen to that. So the 28th, they'll be gone. And our joy will expand to include.
It will. We may have to get the kids on the show.
That could be really fun, really interesting.
Katie is quite bright.
Yes, they are.
Yes, is Michael. Well, anyway, hey, things going on in the world. I don't know about you, but I am really cheesed today.
Cheesed?
Cheesed. And I wish, and it's not a good kind of cheese where you have cheese on your burger.
Mm.
You know, I love a good cheeseburger.
Mm-hmm.
So does Sam. But I'm really cheesed because Barack Obama has chosen not to give the State of the Union address today, and hasn't it been for decades? I know he's done this in the past 2 years. He doesn't give it on the right day, but January 20th is usually the day that the State of the Union address is given, and he's waiting until next Tuesday. And the reason I thought for sure he'd do it today is because today is the 50th anniversary of John F. Kennedy's famous State of the Union address.
Ah, ask not what your country can do. Did he deliver that at his first State of the Union address? Or was that part of his inaugural
address?
That was his inaugural address. Okay,
yes.
Okay.
The inaugural. The very first time he faced everybody and gave this amazing speech. And when you're a brand new president, essentially, that is your State of the Union. Your inaugural speech is your first big speech.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of every year after that, on the same day that you're inaugurated. And I want to know why he didn't pick today. I thought for sure, as someone who is a young president who sees himself in that same sort of mold, I don't necessarily see him that way, by the way, that he and Michelle would have taken advantage of today and tried to play on that.
Yeah.
But he didn't. So, you know. Kudos to him for not doing that. But
well, politicians often do that, of both parties. And of course, we were very critical of the way the memorial in Tucson was turned into a political rally. His speech, you know, credit where it's due, Barack Obama's speech at the Tucson Memorial was very good.
For the most part.
Yeah. The part where he related how Representative Giffords opened her eyes just moments after he came to the room or left the room.
I know. And I think he played on that little girl's memory a little bit too much.
Yeah. But, you know, all things considered, the memorial was, you know, having a memorial was appropriate. His appearance at the memorial was appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
The T-shirts, way over the top.
No. Not so much.
But you're right. Politicians of both parties will look for opportunities to play on certain messages.
I thought for sure he would give it tonight.
In fact,
when you came home, I said, he's giving his speech tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I just assumed he was. And I looked it up to see what time it was, and it's Tuesday.
Yeah. And wasn't the last year that the speech was almost scheduled for the same day as the season opener of Lost?
Yes.
Yeah, and they moved it.
Mm-hmm.
And we were glad for that, actually.
Yes, we were.
But there are consultants and political advisors.
And the year before that, it was delayed or changed the date. It was something about... It was the inauguration. Was it a different day? Or maybe it was just because there was a flub and he was really sworn in the next day. I can't remember what it was. There was something about that date the first year, too.
Yeah.
Ah, well, well.
Well, there are people, consultants and political advisors who make lots and lots of money looking for ways to push the right buttons of the American people. And it happens all over the world. Politicians of every stripe in every country. Look for opportunities like that. So you're right. The 50th anniversary of Kennedy's speech would have been almost a natural.
Mm-hmm.
So, but no doubt, being a Chicagoan, he's at home preparing for the big matchup against the Packers on Sunday, as I'm sure Russ Dizdar is, being a Packers fan.
Do you think he'll root for the Packers or the Bears?
Well, you know, I don't know. I suspect he's going to have to root for the Bears because he's from Chicago, but he is a White Sox fan, and there's no telling with those guys.
That's why I'm saying I'm not sure he'll really be a hometown guy.
Well, anyway.
There's an article that someone posted. I won't say who because I don't have your permission to say your name, but someone posted to Facebook, and I took a look at it, and it's an interesting article. I'm not so sure it's a big surprise. The headline is U.S. Supreme Court issues landmark decision, Constitution is void. I read through the article, and the headline seems to be the conclusion of the person who wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
But frankly, the U.S. Supreme Court saying that judges can essentially set aside what they feel the Constitution is saying and make law.
Mm-hmm.
That's nothing new.
Yeah, it's like, well, we've been talking about that for quite some time.
Yeah.
You know, we mentioned on December 7th of this past year how a judge tossed out the case challenging the president's authority to designate American citizens for assassination without trial or oversight or anything. You know, in direct contradiction to the Bill of Rights, which says that no citizen may be deprived of life or property without due process. And, we now live in a nation where the chief executive has the authority he claims and so far has not been overturned by by any challenge in the judicial branch to have a secret hit list and just declare certain people threats to national security that need to be whacked.
You know, the way it's going, we're going to need sanctuary cities the way they had in the Old Testament.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Just to get away from that government.
Yeah. Well, the world keeps on turning, and it's turning in really odd directions.
What five cities do you think, or six cities do you think, would make great sanctuary cities? Let us know. Send us your votes.
Sanctuary cities, now, are we meaning tongue-in-cheek here, or true sanctuary cities from the government of the United States? Because I don't think there is one.
No, tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah,
I think
tongue-in-cheek, okay. Yeah, explain why, because we'd like to see some really creative.
Explain why you think yours would be really, really great.
Yep.
Let's see, what else is going on in the world? FAA warns of ongoing GPS issues in Southeastern due to the Defense Department tests. I looked at this article earlier, and indeed, there is... I'm looking right at it. It's a PDF that is at the FAASafety.gov,
mm-hmm.
and it's an advisory going out to pilots saying that beginning today through February 22nd of 2011, they are going to be using, during testing, the GPS signal may be unreliable. This is a flight advisory out to all pilots. The area that's covered We'll link to this Engadget article that actually took the time to look at the longitude and latitude listed in this document and show you the areas that essentially you're better off not flying through right now. And it looks to me like it's all of Florida, all of Georgia, most of Alabama, all of South Carolina, all of North Carolina, and Eastern Tennessee.
Hmm. That's interesting.
That's a big area.
Yeah. And you know, this was just a couple of weeks after we'd mentioned the situation in Tampa where they're having to reorganize their runways because the magnetic pole is moving just That's probably, you know, apropos of nothing.
Well, exactly.
I'm really reaching for straws this afternoon.
Well, you know, and I mean, honestly, what is it they're really testing? Supposedly they're testing the defense of our GPS system.
Against an EMP, maybe, or against a hack attack?
I don't know, but during this time, pilots, it says here, during testing, GPS will be unreliable and may be unavailable within a circle with a radius of, and they give this whole, you know, all these numbers, and as I said, Engadget has gone to the trouble of mapping it out for you. Pilots are highly recommended to report anomalies during testing to the appropriate ARTCC to assist in the determination of the extent of GPS degradation during the test. So I don't know what the government's up to.
Well, something, no doubt. So anyway, if your GPS goes a little wonky in that area over the next...
birds drop from the sky.
Yeah, we'll understand what's going on there.
The birds won't. Oh, they'll be cheese.
Yeah, it's a harp test.
Oh.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about Haiti this week, and I just want to toss a couple more things into the pot just to think about. We mentioned the surprise return, the shocking return to a lot of people in Haiti of baby Doc Duvalier.
Oh, yes.
Returned back. And now his successor, who was basically tossed out of the country a couple of years ago, Jean-Bertrand Aristide, is making it known that he wants to come back home. We're over a year now past the earthquake that devastated the country. And what was it, January 10th was the date of the quake?
You know, I can't remember the exact date. So
We're just past it, 1 year down the road. Mm-hmm. And according to an article in Time magazine, only 5% of the rubble in Port-au-Prince has been removed.
5%?
5%.
There was a lot of money from lots of nations sent to Haiti.
Well, yeah,
where did it all go?
Well, that's exactly the question. Where did the money go? According to this Time magazine article, only around 10% of the funds committed to Haiti's recovery have actually been spent there. Aid contracts intended to provide work for Haitians have benefited foreign companies instead. A review by the Associated Press found that out of 1,500 U.S. contracts given out in the last year, only 20 went to Haitian companies. Even before the quake, Haiti was home to more foreign aid workers than any other country on earth. And yet, the presence of 12,000 NGOs, non-government organizations, failed to prevent a cholera epidemic that medical experts believe should never have broken out. That's the one that started essentially with the camp.
Oh, yes. And it was blamed on Dutch?
Nepalese?
Nepalese.
It was a Nepalese contingent there. One advisor to the Haitian Prime Minister, Jean-Max Bellerive, told the Wall Street Journal that the community, the NGO community, has infantilized the country and usurped responsibilities better left to the Haitian government. Now, you can argue the Haitian government is essentially not functioning, but the point is, like a lot of government organizations, a lot of bureaucratic organizations, once they're established, one of the main functions of the organization is to justify its own existence.
Mm-hmm.
We got to spend the whole budget because if we don't spend the whole budget, they're not going to give us as much next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing.
We have to protect our phony baloney jobs,
exactly. So we're a year down the road, and we heard those impassioned pleas from former President Bill Clinton and George W. Bush, saying, look, you probably want to send, money or send blankets or food or something. Just send cash. That's what we really need is your cash. Well, cash because, the people in the pipeline between your text for Haiti and the Haitian people are siphoning all of that money, 90% of it anyway, because only 10% of it's been spent so far. So where did the money go? And why?
That really makes me cheesed.
And why, with the presence of U.S. soldiers and 12,000 NGOs in Haiti or 12,000 NGO workers, why has only 5% of the rubble that fell a year ago been cleared out of place? I mean, this is astonishing, and this is really this is not getting any news not getting any play in the news here in the United States, because we're focused on the upcoming Super Bowl, the shootings in Tucson, and shiny objects, right.
You know, it really does make me cheesed, and one of the things that really makes me mad about this is there are really genuine people who are spending their own money,
yes,
to go to Haiti,
mm-hmm,
just like wonderful people spent their own money to go to New Orleans to help out.
That's
We've
right.
got a gal in our church who's getting ready to go down there. I mean, she has such a heart for mission. She's always going somewhere.
Right, right.
And these people, they live in, when they go down, they don't get nice hotels,
mm-hmm,
the way some of these NGO people do.
No, they don't. They're living in tents. In fact, you know, most of the people in Haiti who are dispossessed are still living in tents
and
on the road. This is really
And I'm sure that's where some of the money has gone, honestly. I mean, some of the NGO, especially the people at the top, they mm-hmm don't stay in tents when they go to there.
Mm-mm.
They stay in hotels.
Sure.
And if there is no hotel because the earthquake has taken it out, we got to build a hotel.
Or live in the cruise ship in the harbor.
Yeah, there you go. We'll live there.
Yeah.
And that costs money. So,
right,
you know, we got to take this. This is just, it's what's left that goes to these people.
That's right. And that's what I wonder. And I don't have any evidence to back this up, and I've not done enough digging on this to find out. But then neither has the major media in the United States or the Western world, apparently.
Haiti has essentially been forgotten.
Yeah. This is what makes me wonder about the sudden reappearance of Baby Doc Duvalier and Jean-Bertrand Aristide.
Mm-hmm,
these
mm-hmm
are guys who still have quite a few followers left in the country, and maybe these guys are thinking, hey, look, we've got millions, tens of millions of dollars in aid money flowing into the country. We want to get our cut.
Yes.
And with the government, and maybe they figure with the situation is so fluid, this is an opportunity for them to make their pitch to the real power brokers, which, of course, you know, is in that part of the world is the United States, that, hey, I'll be your guy down here and get stuff done. We can get the resorts, the hotels and whatnot rebuilt the way you want it, you know, and the kind of government you want, too, if you'll back my play to be the new government. They had a vote. They had an election there back in November, and it's still contested. They're essentially functioning without a government there. The country's overrun with aid workers who apparently aren't doing anything, and the money that good, well-meaning people whose heart broke when we saw what happened on those images that came out of Haiti a year ago, that money has not gotten through the pipeline or has disappeared.
And don't forget, very early after the earthquake, that there were good Christian missionaries who were mm-hmm trying to help orphaned children by taking them into the Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm.
And they were arrested.
Arrested, right. No, they can't leave. What?
That's what kills me. The Dominican Republic is relatively stable and relatively wealthy,
mm-hmm,
especially when you compare it to Haiti.
Yeah. Well, it's like Bob Land says, the best thing you can do for an orphan is to make them not an orphan anymore.
Yes, yes. Amen, yeah. Amen, amen. Well, here's a story that I think we missed. If you mentioned it, please forgive me that it's just gone right over my head. And then you can be cheesed. This is a story from January 14th. U.S. firm once known as Blackwater,
uh-huh,
retained for West Bank security.
Oh, how interesting.
Yep. It comes out of Ramallah. A leading U.S. security firm has been contracted to protect American diplomat personnel in the West Bank.
Uh-huh.
State Department has awarded a subsidiary of Z Services, formerly Blackwater, an $84 million contract to protect U.S. government personnel in the West Bank. Contract was meant to last 5 years and facilitate the movement of U.S. diplomats and security trainers.
Security trainers. Well, yeah, we're spending a lot of money.
In the Palestinian Authority. Yep.
Sure. Well, and Eric Prince, the guy who founded Z or Blackwater and has since sold it, there's a report out from the New York Times that he is secretly backing an effort by a controversial South African mercenary firm that is inserting itself into Somalia's civil war. This is a... Let's see, trying to get the details, the juicy details. According to a report by the African Union, which is an organization of African states, Eric Prince provided initial funding for a project by Saracen International to win contracts with Somalia's embattled government. Now, Saracen is an interesting term because it was a word that originates in the Roman era, used to refer to Aramaeans in the province of Syria. And during the Crusades came to be applied to anyone, any Muslim in the Holy Land.
Mm-hmm.
So the Crusaders were at war with the Saracens.
Mm-hmm.
So Saracen International wants to partner with the government in Somalia to, win back the country by a Somali militant group with ties to Al-Qaeda called the Shabab. Not S-H-E Bob, like, you know, on a meat and a skewer. It's Shabab, S-H-A-B-A-B. Apparently, this group has cornered the government in a small section, bottled up in a small section of Mogadishu. So Saracen International, private security firm based in South Africa with corporate offshoots in Uganda and other countries, was formed with the remnants of Executive Outcomes, which is a private mercenary firm comprised mostly of former South African special ops troops.
You know, I'm glad you brought up South Africa because one of our listeners, hi, Dion, sent me a note, and he lives there. And he said there's a rumor going around the Internet that Mandela.
Oh, yes.
Is dead.
Rumor that Nelson Mandela has died. Now, again, this is only a rumor and appears to
I think it's easy. The sugar withdrawal, actually. I really do. Brain is just not, it wasn't good to start with, and now it's really bad.
Yeah. But, you know, the Toronto Star reported on this a couple of days ago, said that this was a Twitter hoax.
Yes, I think it is.
Yeah. And
but
it's
the
really
problem is you can have a hoax, and if enough people believe it, mm-hmm. they will act or react based upon it.
Right,
yes.
Sure. Perception is reality.
Yes, and, it is. And in the Internet, it's really reality.
Yeah. Well, Nelson Mandela's 92, so he is probably reaching mm-hmm. the end or the final stages of his life. He still seems to be in good health. He's on vacation, in fact, right now. He's just on holiday, so he's not dead. If you've read or heard anything to that effect anywhere, his reports of his demise have been greatly exaggerated. But it does illustrate how easy it is for something like that to spread around the Internet. And we've talked a little bit about Internet rumors that are unsourced or circularly sourced. Somebody mm-hmm. reads something someplace and repeats it, and then someone else repeats it. And when you trace the sources back, they all come to one article that isn't sourced by anybody.
Exactly. Someone made it up. You know, though, speaking of Africa, way to the other end, the mm-hmm. top end of Africa, Tunisia has been in a revolution and trying to figure out exactly what's going on there. You know that the UN is taking a look at it and trying to figure out how do we
exploit, help.
Well, here is at PressTV.de in Iran. Is Islam is the best path for the Tunisian revolution and the rest of the Arab and Muslim world, not the methods prescribed by the West, according to an activist. Of course, the activist isn't necessarily there to, you know, yes, uh-huh. I really said that. We say that only Islam will bring peace and tranquility and freedom to our people, not secularism, not dictatorship, not any other secular ideology supported by the West. That's someone speaking for the Liberation Party there in Tunisia. Tunisia is a very, very important area. It has copper, zinc, mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oil.
Yeah, all important industrial
all kinds of important
things.
Industrial things.
Yeah.
It's also strategically located. It was known during Roman times and before as Carthage.
Yeah, that's
yes.
right. Yeah.
And Carthage and
Sicily controlled
the passage through that part of the Mediterranean.
Sicily.
Yes, Sicily.
It's
Thank
right
you.
Across from Sicily. Well, that's right. That's right. You look at a map, you still see Carthage right there next to Tunis. It's still on the map.
I would have thought that just walking down the street.
Sure. So, that's a
very important strategic location. So I think Tunisia is up for grabs.
It may well be. In fact, that was an interesting point that was made by Seymour Hersh in that article. And I'm going to see if I can find that again real quick. We talked about this just a little bit. It was at the Passport blog, which is edited and published by the editors of Foreign Policy, which is the official magazine of the Council for National Policy. Yeah, and Seymour Hersh mentioned Tunisia there. And bearing in mind that this piece at this blog is intended to make Seymour Hersh look like a foil hat wearing nut job. His speech, which was given in Doha, Qatar, was described by the foreign policy reporter or editor as a conspiracy-laced diatribe.
He must have really hit a nerve.
Yeah, but Hersh said Tunisia is going to change the game. It's going to scare the hell out of a lot of people, and that's a direct quote.
When did he say this?
This was... and this, by the way, Hersh said, was based on a conversation that he had with a man in the intelligence community in the Joint Special Operations business about the fall of the leader in Tunisia. This article was published Tuesday of this week, January 18th, and the speech was given in Qatar on Monday night. So this was just a couple of days ago. So, you know, again, Seymour Hersh, longtime investigative journalist, investigative reporter for The New Yorker, has some intelligence sources, and it's difficult to read through the information here and through the spin, because foreign policy, again, the official organ of the Council on Foreign Relations, has decided that it that Seymour Hersh is not to be trusted or believed. Quoting now, it says Seymour Hersh delivered a rambling, conspiracy-laden diatribe here Monday, here being Doha, Qatar. So somebody with juice has decided that Seymour Hersh needs to be marginalized. That's the only takeaway that I can get out of this article. Don't know, because this was the piece, you remember we talked about the other day, where he was saying that Stanley McChrystal and other members at the head of the Joint Special Operations Command are either Knights of Malta or sympathetic to the Knights of Malta, which is interesting, again, because of the use of the name Saracen International for this group that Eric Prince is now investing in. Eric Prince, who was accused by Hersh and others of using call signs in their work in Iraq and Afghanistan based on the names of crusaders. So that kind of ties that whole thing together. So...
have we gone over?
No, we got a couple of minutes left.
Hey, so how about that?
Well, it should be a really interesting, just enough time to kind of wrap up, I think. So, got an interesting conversation planned tomorrow night with Chris Putnam, who's the publisher of the excellent website Logos Apologia.
That is so good. We're going to love that site.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about ancient astronauts and the 2012 myth and how that's all being tied together, and also transhumanism as a religion. He's written a couple of pieces on those themes. The transhumanism piece published at Reuters News Network, and we'll discuss that. We'll take phone calls. But Chris is a really interesting guy. He's got a really interesting testimony because he comes from the other side of the fence. He has seen the dark side up close, and it literally scared the hell out of him, I guess. I think that's a fair statement, but I'll have him tell that in his own words tomorrow
night. By the way, this is tomorrow night, 10 p.m., not Saturday morning at 6.
Yeah, somehow Facebook got the information from Blog Talk Radio that View from the Bunker tomorrow night would be actually Saturday morning at 6. That is incorrect. Friday night, 10 p.m. Eastern time. That's GMT-5 at blogtalkradio.com/PID radio.
6 a.m. on Saturday, you're going to be snoring. So am I.
It'll be 6 a.m. Saturday.
So is Sam.
6 a.m. Saturday, somewhere in the Middle East, I think.
Oh, good heavens.
So anyway, yes, it should be a really fascinating discussion. And of course, they have the whole... bunker intelligence briefing and all that other important stuff. But we'll be back again tomorrow, God willing. And until then, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content copyright Gilbert House and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out of here.